Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Back from the weekend, ready to talk some football here on Fantasy Football Today. Welcome to the Monday show. I am Adam Azer. Hello, Dave Richard.
What's up, Double A Adam Azer?
Hello, Jamie Eisenberg.
This must be, is either a very happy day for you or a depressing day for you.
Ooh, find out in a second, but first, hello, Heath Cummings.
What is going on?
It's a very happy day for me, Jamie. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, because tomorrow's the day that you get excited about football.
That's right.
So either you're depressed that your life is over because football starts, or you're excited that football starts tomorrow.
No. Like, I've always been happy because I'm a huge baseball fan, as you know, so I'm all into baseball right now. Tomorrow, it's just going to get even better because it'll be the baseball-football combo. Can't wait for that.
You know, when both sports are on, I don't know if you have enough TVs in your house to handle all that sports-watching fiesta.
Of course not, but go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And actually, you should do your draft at Buffalo Wild Wings. Start your fantasy football league right by booking your draft party at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, three shareables at a special price. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. At participating locations, while supplies last. All right, if you're new to the show, thank you all for listening. Welcome. We are going to be every single day from here on out till the end of the regular season, the end of the the NFL regular season, the fantasy playoffs, all the way through week 17. And we don't go away during the off season either. We're twice a week during the off season. And you can follow us on Twitter. I'll give all that information out at another time. We're going to talk about Andrew Luck today. We're going to talk about Mike Gillisley. We're going to talk about David Johnson getting 2,000 total yards and a bunch of touches and a lot of news from over the weekend. Christian McCaffrey, rave reviews, and much more. Everybody have a good weekend?
Yes, sure.
Great. Yeah, Heath? All right, great. Hey, looking forward to hearing about it later. Let's start with our email of the day. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Dear Lip, Fiona, Frank, and Ian. This is Shameless. You guys ever seen it? It's a very, very good show.
Well, if you like it, then it must not be good.
No, it is. It's really good. By the way, this is from John. What player or players are you ashamed to love? And remember, those characters are from Shameless. Who are you ashamed to love? From a man who's getting married on Saturday, so congratulations to John.
What would you tell John about getting married? You're a pro.
Just don't stress. I was really stressed and a little nervous before it started, a little overwhelmed. Don't worry about it. You're going to have the best night of your life. Just
were you worried that Allie was going to leave you standing at the altar?
No, I wasn't. We weren't at an altar, so.
I know what you were worried about, because you texted me and Nando 20 minutes before your wedding started.
Don't live tweet my wedding, yeah.
Nando and I looked at each other like, wow, he's got his priorities list straight.
Who are you ashamed
of? What
were you
doing 20 minutes before you got married, Jamie?
What was I doing 20 minutes? It was weird because Jewish stuff and long walks and things of that nature.
Disney World,
yeah.
I was setting a fantasy lineup.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Really?
Got married on a Saturday in the football season.
Heath, what were you doing?
I was probably drinking a beer.
Right before my first look with Allie, she's like walking up behind me. Right before that happened, I checked the Yankee score and saw they won on a walk-off homer. I got really happy, and it put me at ease. Actually calmed my nerves quite a bit. So
I actually watched that live that day.
Ah, hooray for sports. All right, guys, I really do want to answer this question. Who are you ashamed to love?
I don't know if I'm ashamed to love any player.
I got
one. We can do this.
I got one.
Ashamed?
Tyler Lockett.
Okay.
Tyler Lockett.
You're ashamed to love him.
I feel shame.
Why?
I think the question would be like better. It could probably be better.
It would be better. Who do you like that no one else likes?
No, because
it's that. There's
too many people that like I've seen plenty of people say like with all this John Brown hype. Oh, John Brown's my guy. I've been talking about him for weeks or months. I mean, come on. That's just stupid.
Why? Wait. Because it's too trendy.
Because if I wrote about John Brown in February and somebody wrote about him in March, that means he's my guy?
Right. Well, I'll tell you who
it's dumb.
I am straight up ashamed to love. I still love him.
Michael Floyd?
Kobe Fleener.
Oh.
No.
See, like, stuff like that. Like, I would say, like, but again, it's, I just think it's weird to phrase it this way.
It is
You
weird.
Shouldn't be ashamed to like him. You like him.
I think
things
it's more
about
like,
him that
like,
you think are still positive.
I feel great shame.
Like, guy you're drafting no matter what.
Well, that's not
I
the,
feel
the case.
Ashamed about the way I still draft Jonathan Stewart.
Okay.
Why do you draft Jonathan Stewart?
Because
like
he's
round
slow
three, because
and
that
old.
Would be shameful.
He's there in the 11th or 12th a lot of times.
And you're getting him in round?
Sure, 11 or 12.
Right, that's
10,
nothing
maybe.
To be ashamed about, though.
You're really ruining this guy.
Just
really,
have fun
I'm
with it.
Ruining this guy's
you shouldn't be ashamed to take anybody in fantasy.
Well, yeah, and I just was doing my little Kobe Fleener research when I saw this email, or after I saw it. Did you know Kobe Fleener and Ben Watson, in 2015 Ben Watson, 2016 Kobe Fleener, basically averaged the same amount of fantasy points per target? And that was like one of the main reasons why we liked Kobe Fleener, because we saw Ben Watson was the number 8 tight end in standard, number 7 in PPR with Drew Brees. How could Kobe Fleener be worse than that? He had 81 targets. Watson had 109. Brandon Cooks is gone. Give me 100 targets from Kobe Fleener. I guarantee he's going to be a top 10 tight end.
When you did the math for that, did you include the rushing touchdown?
No, I didn't.
Oh, really? Oh, good for you. Really? He averaged the same amount as Benjamin Watson. I'm stunned by that.
Oh, no.
I'm ashamed to love Andy Dalton.
Sorry, Dave. I did. You're right.
Oh, you did count the
touchdown.
Yes,
including the rushing touchdown.
So.
That's a good point. He was bad. He was really bad. Why are you ashamed to love Andy Dalton? Because he's got red hair? That's not cool, man.
Yeah, it's basically it. He's my redheaded stepchild.
Fair enough.
There's so many good quarterbacks.
Like, I'd be ashamed if I woke up every morning and watched shows on Disney Junior by myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that?
I don't take personal questions on the podcast, Adam. I try and stick to football here.
All right, then. Let's take a look at the news from around
Breaking baseball news.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, shoot.
Francisco Liriano.
To the Royals?
To the Astros.
To the Astros. Okay, great.
Good deal. That's the best Royals news this week. Who cares?
So instead of doing just the news items, we'll actually get into those later. Let's kind of take some relevant players and play a game called Are You More ... Are you more concerned about Andrew Luck? Not great reports over the weekend on Luck. Or excited about Christian McCaffrey? Are you more concerned about Andrew Luck or excited about Christian McCaffrey right now?
A lot of hype about McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talking him up out of Panthers camp. He's amazing, special player. Jonathan Stewart called him a special player.
He didn't just call him guy taking my job.
Guy who will make me expendable in 2018.
So what's the answer? What's the answer here?
Concerned about Andrew Luck.
More concerned about Luck.
I
don't think McCaffrey has done anything yet to say, wow, he's better than we thought he is.
Yeah, and McCaffrey, in all honesty, may hurt the wide receivers more than he hurts Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, but boy, they love him. They seem to love him there. Now, in terms of Luck, no commitment to being ready for week one, and he's just kind of playing it safe. At what point will you guys move Andrew Luck down in your rankings?
August 20th.
Oh.
3 weeks before week one. If he's not practicing, I'm going to get nervous. But at the same time, I will recognize the fact that if I get him a little later in the draft than round five, I'm not going to be freaking out about it. I expect him to play at some point this season, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
If I draft Andrew Luck, I know I've got to take another quarterback. If I get Andrew Luck later on, that's good value for later in the season when he comes back and his shoulder is A-OK. I'm assuming that his shoulder will eventually be A-OK.
So, Adam, I did I told you this, but I did an analyst draft last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's half point PPR, 6 points for passing touchdowns. Luck went in round 8.
It's crazy to do that right now. What a steal. Did you get him?
No, I considered it. He went as still the fifth quarterback off the board.
All right, so not a big rush on quarterbacks in the analyst league.
It was kind of like everybody waited after Breeze, who went round 5, and then Luck went in round 8, and then it was kind of like a little bit of a mini run.
All right. Actually, I want to talk about that draft tomorrow. And we are doing a 14-team league draft, a 14-team draft tomorrow afternoon. So we'll probably talk about that and different strategies for deeper leagues on Wednesday show. You know, it's easy to replace Luck. You know, you're not going to necessarily get Luck production, but wide receiver or quarterback's deep. Wide receiver, it'd be harder to replace T.Y. Hilton, who would obviously be hurt by Andrew Luck's absence. And just to give you the numbers, in 2015, Hilton played nine games with Andrew Luck, or without Andrew Luck. Nine games without Andrew Luck, he averaged 7.2 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues. He played seven games with Luck, he averaged 10 fantasy points per game, almost 3 points better. That's a pretty big deal. And last year, only one game without Andrew Luck and three catches for 54 yards. So it would obviously hurt T.Y. Hilton.
Have you moved Luck down, Heath?
I have not moved him down yet. There's too big a gap between the top four and everybody else, in my opinion.
With Luck being in there?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so at the same time, I've not drafted Andrew Luck. I don't imagine I will draft Andrew Luck. He's not one of the quarterbacks I'm willing to take early. If I don't get Brady or Rodgers in the fourth or Breeze in the fifth or sixth, I'm probably just waiting until the end of the draft.
Will you, I guess this is a question for both of you, will you both move Hilton and Moncrief and Doyle down when you move Luck down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to.
I mean, I couldn't move Moncrief down much without him being out of my top 60. but I'm trying to think. Hilton, see, here's the thing. Like, do you drop Hilton behind that group of really good receivers that don't have a quarterback either?
Did you just hear Adam say what he averaged without Andrew Luck?
Seven
fantasy points per week?
Pretty bad.
What's his upside?
Well, I guess the question is, though, you're not dropping him with the thought that Luck's not playing. You're dropping with the thought that Luck is just missing time.
Right.
So it just goes from it's almost like I'm trying to think of somebody who's in that group. I guess there's nobody, but it's just the thought of the guys behind Luck, at least right now, how much do they hurt Hilton for how many games Luck's going to miss?
Yeah.
So
like Hopkins and Robinson might have just as bad a quarterback when he's catching passes from Tolzien.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about moving him to like 20th.
Right.
Still top 12, but he'd be at the very least the top nine would be.
I think
11
is where I'd put him.
Somewhere in there.
Okay. All right. We have time to update that. Let's go to our next one. Are you more excited about Christian McCaffrey or Mike Gillisley?
Gillisley.
Like,
from news
you put this
or,
thing and you did five
player.
Of them. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And the first two have excited about Christian McCaffrey?
Yes. It was supposed to be a transition.
Wait till you hear the third one, everybody. It's a real doozy.
Mike Gillisley.
But you're talking about just as a player or as the news from this weekend?
I guess I'm really kind of tying it into the news, but I don't know. Okay, so Gillisley gets the goal line work, and the report is that he's, you know, clearly the guy that's going to replace LeGarrette Blount. And McCaffrey, the report is he's the best player, you know, in the world, in Carolina.
See, because based on the news, I'm more excited about McCaffrey. Based on the player, I'm more excited about Gillisley.
Who are you drafting first?
Gillisley, because I'm more excited about him. But again,
have you moved either guy up in your rankings in the last 72 hours?
No, but the point would be is I think based on what we're learning, both these guys are in situations I think that we expected. But one is a rookie coming into the league having to adjust to a new situation. Gillisley is stepping into a situation that we all expected him to be in. And there may have been like a little slight blip of Patriots news of we don't really know who the guy is going to be replacing Blount.
Right, and then a week later it's this.
It was a day later. The first practice.
Like a week to me.
The first practice was Gillisley gets the first goal line carry, and everybody's like, well, there it is. Right. You know,
yeah,
so
right.
I don't think that was news. McCaffrey stuff is more news. So based on the news, that's more exciting.
Okay, so who are you drafting first in a PPR league, Gillisley or McCaffrey?
Gillisley.
McCaffrey.
I ran a poll about Gillisley asking, let's just say hypo, because we've done a lot of, well, we don't think he'll get quite all of LeGarrette Blount's workload. He probably won't
get all
of it.
Carries, yeah.
But he may. Like, that's still in the range of possibilities. We don't think he's going to. And if he does, he has top five upside.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think McCaffrey has top five upside.
Yeah,
very true.
Blount had seven catches last year. We think Gillisley's going to double that or better?
I don't. If he gets 299 carries, I don't care.
No, I'm just curious. Okay.
You're taking who?
I think Gillisley. I have McCaffrey ahead of him?
Yeah, McCaffrey.
I have them back-to-back.
You have them back-to-back. I have them three spots apart. McCaffrey, to me, could be how Danny Woodhead finishes in PPR.
Gotcha. All right, are you more willing to forgive Kobe Fleener or Randall Cobb?
Cobb. I would draft him first.
And yeah, you would draft a third, fourth receiver more than a second tight end. So.
Right.
So, yeah. Cobb. That was an easy one. Next up, are you more excited to draft Kelvin Benjamin or Corey Coleman?
Benjamin is looking svelte.
Benjamin.
He's apparently lost a little weight and gets off the ball a little faster. Now, of course, every single guy that we're talking about from Carolina, it's a big rosy report about how wonderful they are, and humanitarian of the year type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin.
Now, you like Benjamin better. Let's factor average draft position in here. Are you more excited about Kelvin Benjamin 78th or 79th overall or Corey Coleman 115th overall?
I said Benjamin.
Coleman.
Jamie? ADP?
If I have a choice between Coleman in the 10th and Benjamin in the 7th, I'll take Coleman.
Yeah, I'll still take Benjamin if the reports are accurate.
And finally, are you more likely to play in a 16-team IDP league with tiered PPR, where different positions get different points per reception? So a 16-team IDP league with tiered PPR or a 10-team standard scoring league?
The 16-team IDP 100%, league with
tiered
PPR.
Yes.
Way more fun.
No. I'm 10-team standard scoring.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I kind of decided that I don't like... I mean, I didn't just decide this, but I was thinking about it before the show. I don't like leagues that have no waiver wire. They drive me crazy. There you go. That's my 2 cents. And this has been Adam's 2 cents. Hey, everybody, vote for us at the Podcast Awards. Nominate us, podcastawards.com. This is your last day. The nominations end today. Yeah, we won, but no, we didn't win. Nobody won yet. Just nominate us, podcastawards.com. And we'll go through the rest of the news and notes, but let's play a game real quick. I went bowling over the weekend. I bowled two games. Guess my high score.
86.
121.
115.
You guys all underestimate me. Dave, that was very insulting. I bowled a 145. Take that.
He overestimated. He said 150.
He said 86.
Jamie.
Jamie said 115.
Said 115?
115?
115.
Okay.
Yeah. Heath, you were the closest without going over. You win the game.
I didn't know that you used bumpers, or I would have guessed.
No, I was pretty happy with 145. I had to take that any day of the
week.
What
was your other game? What was your low?
Like 137. I actually had a nice, okay.
Good
nice
for
night.
You. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should have a.
He's a regular Ernie McCracken over here.
Bigger.
Should go bowling sometime.
We should.
I guarantee I'd finish in last.
There's no doubt in my mind you'd finish in last. I think Jamie, me, Heath, Dave would be my predicted order of finish.
I've only bowled once since I broke my finger, and it was very uncomfortable.
Ah.
So hopefully with the I just got the stitches out today. So hopefully with the second repair, it's better.
When do you come down to Florida next, Adam?
I don't know.
How about this weekend? We'll go bowling.
No, I'm going to LA this
weekend.
I'm
a little
weekend.
Fired up now. That you think I'd finish in last, because I think you'd finish in last.
I just bowled a 145. You can't bowl a 145.
Yeah, no one believes you.
You don't think I did that?
I'm the guy at the bowling alley who will bowl a perfect strike.
Yeah.
And then the very next time, directly into the gutter.
Straight in the gutter. Like,
well, based on your discussion that you just
said. Yeah,
right now, I would,
my coordination. There's a reason why I write about sports instead of ever played sports.
By the way, there's a report coming out of Denver that the offensive line is looking fantastic today. And
without Ronald Leary.
Specifically Garrett Bowles.
Oh, nice. Rookie. All right, so here's some more reports. Heath, Blake Bortles threw 5 interceptions in practice.
He was so bad that Brandon Albert retired.
One more quarterback note. Prisco, Pete Prisco, our senior football writer, he went to Cardinals camp, says Carson Palmer is looking good, and we can transition into running back notes as well. David Johnson wants 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving yards. The Cardinals seem like they're willing to get him to that. And, Jamie, what did Bruce Arians say about all the touches that David Johnson might get?
Hold on, let me find it. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll just paraphrase." He said, "He's not running between the tackles 30 times." He said, "If he's getting hit that many times, it means the DBs are doing a good job tackling."
Right. So that's a 30 touch per game basis that they're talking about, which there's no way. There's no way.
If he's having that much success catching the ball and everybody else is healthy, Palmer's going to be a top five quarterback again.
I feel like I would bring my A game to the bowling alley.
I think you would, but I just don't think...
Against you and Jamie and Heath.
You know what's,
I think I would bring it.
But you know what's bothering me, Dave? Is like you volunteered that you would finish last, and then I agreed, and you're like, oh, you wouldn't beat
me.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, because I was ashamed, Adam. I felt shame in saying that and being that way, and now I want to prove that I won't finish in last.
So you said you rented a movie this weekend. What was the genre?
It was a thriller.
It was a thriller.
Kind of horror, but really more of a thriller.
Get Out?
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
No, he wanted you to leave. how old?
Just a few years, I think. Like pretty recent movie. And it's two words, just like Get Out. All right, you guys think about that. We'll move on to the, it's 2016 movie. It is a crime film / thriller, according to IMDb. All right, so Jay Ajayi is being evaluated for a concussion. We'll keep an eye on that. Let's look up at the Buccaneers backfield where their GM, Jason Licht, one, would not guarantee Doug Martin would get his starter's role back after his three-game suspension, and two, said they're going to go, they're leaning toward running back by committee for weeks 1 through 3. So what's your take on the Buccaneers running back situation right now?
They were all over the map this weekend. There was a report that said Jacquizz Rodgers could hold a job for the season.
Yeah, I like the idea of somebody might play good enough to where Doug Martin loses his job, but nobody's good enough to be the feature back while he's gone.
Yeah, this is silly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Is anybody getting nervous about this backfield?
No.
Where you might shy away from drafting Martin and Quiz?
No, because I think their prices are very good right now. And I don't think Doug Martin's all of a sudden going to leap from where he is, which is 70th overall. He'll probably go down if this average draft position is right. And Rodgers is 149.
Oh, well, that's crazy.
So he'll go
Agreed.
Up. Yeah, he'll probably be somewhere close to 100.
He did very well. He had 5 games, Jacquizz Rodgers, with 15 or more carries, and he had 12 or more fantasy points in 4 of those 5 games. I don't know that he ran all that well, but the fantasy points were there. The production was there. So you can hope to get some good production for 3 weeks, but I guess we would still assume Doug Martin is going to be the workhorse, despite what came out this weekend when he comes back?
I would probably say it's Rodgers in the first 3 weeks with Sims and maybe McNichols working in over those games that Martin is out. And then weeks 4, 5, and 6, it's probably Martin sharing the ball with a couple of those guys as well. And then if he's healthy and doing what he's supposed to do the rest of the season, he's probably going to be a 15 to 20 touch guy.
Moving on. Giovanni Bernard practicing in full after tearing his ACL last season. What does that mean for the Bengals and for Bernard?
I think it's bad news for Joe Mixon. He's still going to lead the team in touches this year, I would expect, but it absolutely lowers his ceiling.
He could begin the year as the, not, I don't want to say backup, meaning he won't play at all to Hill and Bernard, but like the first series of the first game for Cincinnati will be Hill and Gio, and then they sprinkle in Mixon, and you don't necessarily get the full Mixon effect until the coaches decide that it's
time to replace
one of the stiffs in front of
them. This is now the case for all of the rookie running backs. Because we're talking about
Cook or Fournette.
In Minnesota, they're talking about Latavius Murray could be the short yardage back.
He can't even get on the field.
Well,
they don't know when he's going to be back.
It's not even a week into camp yet. And we kind of think Jerick McKinnon's going to take third down work.
He could if Latavius isn't right.
And then there was a report over the weekend that Chris Ivory is going to be the short yardage back in Jacksonville.
Oh, no. What?
TJ Yeldon's the third down back in Jacksonville.
No, don't do this, Doug Marrone.
Second down, Leonard Fournette.
He's going to dominate second downs.
Oh, yeah.
These coaches are stupid. No, all these rookies, for the most part, at least the prominent ones, are so much better than the guys in front of them.
Right. At this point, we have
If the Bengals want to roll out Giovanni Bernard on still a bad knee and Jeremy Hill on two bad whatever, they're idiots.
Those are called legs, Jamie.
Well, Gio could be healthy.
He could be.
Like, I don't think that he'd be practicing if he wasn't.
He's not more talented than Mixon.
It's true. But these coaches are stubborn and scared to make changes until they are so sure.
I will go to bat for Gio Bernard being a better pass blocker, pass catcher, better third down back than Joe Mixon.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't even know right now. Mixon was good at that.
Yeah. No, maybe right now. I don't think it's guaranteed.
All right, guys. DetroitLions.com estimates about 200 carries for Amir Abdullah. That would have ranked him 15th in 2015, 20th in 2016 in carries if Abdullah had 200 carries. Last year, we had two running backs finish in the top 15 with just under 200 carries. Latavius Murray was 13th. Isaiah Crowell was 15th. So, let's see. Abdullah right
now. How many fumbles?
For who? For Abdullah?
Abdullah.
He's the 26th running back off the board. Certainly attainable with 200 or so carries, but it does limit his ceiling a little bit. A lot.
I don't
think dumb coach.
Any Lions back had 100 carries last year.
You think it's dumb that they want to give him 200 carries?
I think it's dumb that they don't.
Oh, that was the plan. That was the plan last year before he got hurt.
Carries, they demand that they have to have two carries. Like, what if Abdullah really shines? Are they really going to take him off the field in certain situations?
Oh, I don't think so. Especially Riddick right now can't get on the field either.
Yeah.
They love using two running backs. It's part of their recipe for
four. Last year, Theo Riddick led the team with 92 carries. Dwayne Washington had 90. Zach Zinner had 88.
Yeah, I turn him loose, man. But hopefully,
maybe
Abdullah can stay healthy.
They may also think he can't handle 200
right.
more than 300 carries.
It's possible. And Denver wants 8 to 10 touches per game for Jamal Charles, according to Peter King. If Jamal Charles got 8 to 10 touches per game, would he be fantasy relevant?
Sure.
Yes.
In standard or just PPR or what?
Probably just PPR.
I mean, he's not somebody you're going to start, but he's somebody you're going to keep an eye on. If he could get 8 to 10 touches and stay healthy, then once C.J. Anderson gets hurt, it's his job.
And it depends on how are those distributed. Is it 5 carries and 5 catches? Because then in PPR, he'd be probably a flex.
Sure.
All righty. Washington running back Keith Marshall is going to miss the season with a torn patellar tendon.
Man.
Some wide receiver notes. Tennessee signed Corey Davis. All right. Chiefs wide receiver.
Immediately put him in as the number one guy.
Nah. Really?
Yeah.
He's one. Matthews is two. Decker's playing the slot. But Decker's going to be on the field more than Matthews.
Okay. But who's going to be better, Decker or Davis?
I would take Decker.
I would take Davis.
Dave, Decker or Davis?
I'm in the middle. I hate going against the guy that called his shot with Michael Thomas last year, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Decker is the safer pick. I don't love any of them.
Right.
I'm not ready to start any of them week one. But
do you have any of them in your top 36?
I don't think I do.
Decker's just outside for me.
Yeah.
They're back-to-back. I think Davis has more upside, but Decker's just proven everywhere he's been to be a very good red zone threat, and I think that's going to help Mariota. That's why I don't like Delanie Walker. I think Decker's a huge blow to Walker.
All right, a couple more wide receiver notes. DeMarcus Robinson is working with the first team of Kansas City. Chester Rogers is working as the number three wide receiver for the Colts, according to the Indianapolis Star. DeMarcus Robinson, Chester Rogers, do we care about either of these guys?
No Philip Dorsett, huh?
No Kamar Aiken, which is more important.
Yeah, I expected Kamar Aiken to be
Kamar
the
guy. Aiken.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's got to learn the offense before he gets that role.
Or maybe they just need a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's obvious.
Okay, I guess we don't care. And Marcus Wheaton had an appendectomy for the Chicago Bears.
Their receiving core is hilarious.
It's so bad.
Meredith is going to have a good year.
I don't know that it's so bad. I mean,
it's bad.
I think it's hilarious, though. Looking at have you looked at the full receiving core?
It's like one guy who wasn't drafted, who's their best guy.
Yeah.
One guy who was overdrafted, who can't get on the field.
Well, we don't know that he's overdrafted.
And then every retread almost has been around the NFL.
If Kevin White is good, then it's going to be a fine core.
Yeah.
But
big if.
It's a huge if. Finally, Rob Ninkovich retired. He's awesome. And Brandon Albert retired. Is that a big deal for Jacksonville?
Yeah. I think it hurts Fournette a little bit. Along with this news that they're going to waste everybody's time with Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon. Like, what the hell is that?
It's just a little bit.
They were just reports. Line, they could be wrong.
He was supposed to be a good starter for them on that left side, and now they're going to have to trust the rookie there.
So do we still think that Jacksonville's offensive line has improved?
Yes.
By default, it's improved. Because last year, they were awful.
Right, but they have been awful multiple years in a row.
They will be
they don't have to be a little less awful. Okay.
Maybe they make a trade.
You know, the Bears made a trade, or not a trade, the Bears signed somebody after the preseason last year, and it totally turned their line around. Maybe something happens with Jacksonville.
I'm pretty sure who's the guy that the Raiders just got rid of?
Oh, yeah.
Austin Howard.
Right? He's still out there, right? He hasn't signed with Baltimore.
As far as I know.
So they could
go and get him.
Go look at him. There'll be some guys that get cut that we don't know. That we don't expect.
But you look at the Texans last year. They lost their starting center for the season during the preseason, and their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, was banged up. I mean, this stuff matters. I think this sucks.
Yeah, I think the thing would be is, like, the Saints had not necessarily a plan in place, but they had a guy in place by losing Armstead.
Because they were smart. They drafted Ramchak.
Right. He fell in their lap. And, you know, the situation in Detroit is bad because Decker gets hurt and they're, you know, they make the trade for Greg Robinson. They, you know, are trying to, you know, find a left tackle. The Jaguars are kind of like the Saints. They have a guy that could play left tackle.
Right. But then they lose a guy to play left guard.
Right. But Robinson's natural position is left tackle or is tackle.
Sure.
So it's not like they don't have somebody that could slide over there. And oh, by the way, he's been practicing there because Albert didn't report because what was assumed to be a contract situation. So is it ideal to have a rookie playing left tackle for you? No, but I mean, the kid's
the best
talented
guy you got. Then
kid's talented for a reason.
Right.
All right, guys. So, what movie did I see over the weekend? It was Don't Breathe, and it was really good.
You know, it's funny. I pulled up a list of movies from 2016. I said 2016 thriller movies. And that's the fourth one that's listed, and I thought there's no chance he saw it.
No, it was really good. I was surprised. I recommend it. Could not breathe. It was a thrill ride. It's better than Game of Thrones.
You're the dumbest human being.
Wow. Mark the tape on that one.
I understand one thing, Jamie. I understand that Buffalo Wild Wings helps you be a good fantasy football league manager. That is a tough job. It's important to go get a good first impression. It all starts with the draft. And if you want your league to love you, book your draft party at B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit, plus a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, three shareables, all for a special price to feed your league. So come on in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. That would be such an awesome thing to do, man, if you're a league manager. Get your draft party going at Buffalo Wild Wings. All right, let's talk about a league dispute. An email from Adam at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. After this, we'll talk about some combos, but not the snacks. Not like Friday. We'll just do some football combos. Me and my friend are in several leagues together, and one of my leagues, I needed a running back badly. He needed a wide receiver badly in another league. So I, in regular conversation, said that if you trade me a running back in the first league, I'll give you a wide receiver in the big league. Is this cheating on any level? I was booted from the league for this. And my friend is still in it.
This is cheating on every single level that anyone could imagine.
You have a career in politics, sir.
You should both be booted from the league.
Really?
That's what I would have done.
Both? Yeah. Okay. That's pretty. I wonder why one guy stayed.
Did they discuss this? Like, hey, we traded in one league and now we're trading in another league?
Yes.
Why would you admit that?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, did they admit it? Yeah, I don't know. That's bad, though.
Because, are they getting kicked out of both leagues?
It seems like they pulled it off in one of the
leagues. Getting kicked out of both leagues?
They should be.
Only yes. One guy's getting kicked out of one league?
This is cheating. Definitely cheating.
It's completely and totally cheating.
That was a great email.
Come on and send your commissioner questions to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Now let's do some combos. Which combo do you like better? David Johnson.
Wait, before you go there, I noticed this note from Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback, because we discussed it last week about Phillip Rivers with the commute. Coach Anthony Lynn said he is a little concerned about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you got to move, man. Can't be commuting.
He said, he goes, Phillips has such a unique situation with eight children. He said, it's worth a try to commute and keep ourselves in the... Oh, this is Rivers. I'm sorry. Rivers, it's worth a try to commute and keep ourselves in the same home and be in the same schools and have the same support system.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough issue. That's a lot of kids. But, you know, a lot of people have to move away sometimes. It's not that far. Okay, anyway.
Well, he still commutes back and forth to the Missouri, right?
Yeah.
Right,
yes.
It's amazing.
You do. Sure do. David Johnson and Doug Baldwin? Or David Johnson and Leonard Fournette?
So I think with this, David Johnson and David Johnson are kind of the same type of guys.
It's not.
So
I know what you're. I know what you're going. No. I know what you're going for.
Fournette.
Because it's really a question of also, do you want to start your team running back receiver or running back running back?
Johnson Baldwin. I like Baldwin a lot better, and I'd rather start running back wide receiver.
What is the format?
Dave, what's the format?
Oh, you're going to say half point PPR.
Yeah.
If it's half point PPR, I'm going to go to the Baldwin side.
Yeah.
Full point PPR, also the Baldwin side. 1/4 PPR or no PPR?
See, but here's the other part of it, though.
No, Fournette.
Here's the other part of it, though. The thing about David Johnson or Bell in this scenario, but Johnson's going to be the one that has the number one overall ADP, you're probably able to go running back, receiver, and whatever. You know, you may end up with both these guys.
That's true. You would have two picks there.
Yeah, I guess so. But actually, you traded your third round pick in a keeper league, so you don't have it. Yeah,
makes perfect sense.
All right, which combo do you like better, David Johnson and Doug Baldwin, or Antonio Brown and Todd Gurley? David Johnson and Doug Baldwin, or Antonio Brown and Todd Gurley?
Because I'm nervous about Gurley, I'm going to go with Johnson and Baldwin.
I'm going to go with Johnson and Baldwin happily ever after.
Yeah, you're a big Baldwin guy.
The big Baldwin guy. I have him ranked in the exact same place that you and Jamie do, but I'm a big Baldwin
guy. But you
guy.
Like him better. You
it
like
seems
better.
Like you're drafting him before we are, though.
Yes, that's true.
Jamie, what you got here? David Johnson and Baldwin?
Johnson and Baldwin.
Hmm. Okay, so let's get rid of Gurley then, and let's go Johnson and Baldwin or Antonio Brown and Crowell, Fournette. Like, who should, you know...
Fournette would be interesting.
All right,
I would rather have Johnson and Baldwin than Brown and any of the guys you've mentioned so far.
How about Fournette and Brown?
What if it was Ajayi instead of Fournette?
Then I would rather have Brown and Ajayi.
We have found Heath's breaking point on this specific combo.
Dave, where are you if it were Brown and Fournette compared to Johnson and Baldwin?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm sorry, I just cut you off, but I'm looking at this draft from last night, and David Johnson was the first overall pick, and the owner who took him at the turn went with Doug Baldwin, one of his two picks, and the owner who drafted Antonio Brown in the at the third overall pick took Leonard Fournette in the second round.
Hmm. I think I like Fournette. I like Fournette Brown better.
I liked Fournette Brown before Albert retired and before the Jaguars coaches started talking up other players.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. Like, the cream will rise. They're not gonna start training camp by telling Chris Ivory you have no role. You know what I mean? Like
they should have. They should have cut him.
You know what can weigh cream down and keep it from rising? Crap. And that's what he's surrounded by.
How colorful. All right, next combo.
We now know how he flakes his coffee.
Isaiah Crowell and Jamison Crowder. Crowell and Crowder. Or Paul Perkins and Alshon Jeffrey. Crowell and Crowder. Or Perkins and Jeffrey.
I'm going to go with the CNC football factory of Crowell and Crowder.
This
Crows
is all
Crows Incorporated.
This is all
you
based.
You could draft them and call it the Heckle and Jekyll strategy.
I like it.
Both Crows.
This is based on ADP, by the way. So this is actually realistic based on current ADP.
So what is this, rounds 3 and 5?
6-ish, something like that.
Yeah, I am probably going to go Crowell and Crowder, although I would like to have Perkins and Jeffrey and call my team Paul Sean.
Great. Why don't you tell everybody what your fantasy baseball team name is?
Yasmani Money, Tomas Problems.
Do you guys get that?
Greatest team name in the history of the universe.
Do you get that, Dave? Like for Yasmani no. Tomas, Yasmani Money, Tomas Problems?
Remember Mo Money, Mo Problems, the
I've
rap song?
I've heard that.
Right. Yasmani Money, Tomas Problems.
It's so bad.
Money,
it's
Mas
so
Problems.
Bad.
I'm not a big baseball fan.
That doesn't matter. This is so bad. All right, Jamie, you want to weigh in? Perkins and Jeffrey or Crowell and Crowder?
Crowell and Crowder.
Crowell and Crowder, all right. Okay, how about this combo? Running backs, Crowell and Ty Montgomery or Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go, as much as I love Cook, and I think Mixon's great, I'm gonna go with the non-rookie side, Crowell and Montgomery.
Yeah, as much as I'm the low guy on Montgomery, I think it's almost a no-brainer.
Yep, I would rather have Crowell or Montgomery over Mixon or Cook, so yes.
Okay. So your two favorites are Cruel and Montgomery. All right. That's for Heath. Last combo. Kirk Cousins and Terrell Pryor, the Redskins combo, or Drew Brees and Willie Snead, Redskins or Saints here?
Saints.
That's a great one.
There's a lot bigger difference between Cousins and Brees than Pryor and Snead, right?
Yes.
So I would take the Saints. Okay.
I think I'm alone on Redskins Island, Adam. I think that they're going to throw just as much as New Orleans, and I've got the number one receiver for the Redskins versus the number two receiver for the Saints.
What round would you think that Willie Snead went in a half-point PPR analyst league last night, and I did not draft him?
12 teams?
Which means he went higher than normal, so I'll say one.
Six.
Five.
Fifth round.
You're both low.
Fourth round.
Would you like to know the guys he went ahead of?
Yes.
He went ahead of Jarvis Landry, Michael Crabtree.
Wow.
Devontae Adams.
Wow.
Jameson Crowder.
Wow.
Shockingly, this was the one that surprised me. Stephon Diggs. And Emmanuel Sanders.
Wow. Gosh. Half PPR ahead of Crabtree.
I don't feel it.
You can do it. Okay.
I mean, as much as I like him, I wouldn't take him there, but I was looking at him in the fifth round.
That was a 12-team league, Jamie?
12-team league.
Okay, again, I think we should talk about that draft tomorrow, so we will do that.
It's fascinating when you draft with people that do this for a living and do it different places.
You like your team?
Oh, I was very pleased, yeah.
Good.
I mean, I can tell you my team if you want to know that, but...
Nope. Tomorrow. Good, sir. Okay, guys, let's do some emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We decided before the show we're going to start doing our position previews probably at the end of next week. And following week. Well, I decided with you guys around, so we decided. Alex from a bar near you.
Duluth, Minnesota.
What?
That's where he's from.
Funky Buddha.
No, he's from a bar, yeah.
Well, are you saying they don't have bars in Duluth?
But near you. Funky Buddha is the correct answer, I guess. Dear Budweiser, Bud Light, Bush Light, and... O'Doul's, I guess that would be O'Doul's. Which one player would each of you throw out in a standard auction league early, say first 2 to 3 players thrown out, in hopes that he slides through at a value as others are waiting to bid and pay on big dogs? I like it. Good question.
That's not... I've seen people do that, and I've seen it work and blow up in their face. That's not generally a strategy I use.
Yeah, you're trying to nominate players that you don't want.
I'm nominating Marshawn and Adrian Peterson and all those guys that I don't want. But
this is a spot for unpopular players that you like.
So like Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get Mike Wallace for a buck.
For a
dollar. It's also like doing defensive kicker first. Like if you want to get Justin Tucker or Broncos, Chiefs, Seahawks, whatever defense you want, throw them out early.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking – Dalvin Cook, who I'm going to like this year. Might take him a few weeks, but I think he'll be awesome once they turn him loose. But, you know, the concept here is like, okay, you nominate somebody that you don't like and you let other people spend money on him. Or you nominate a kicker in a defense, like Jamie said. Or you nominate someone that only you like. But I think, like, the fourth way to approach this maybe is that you nominate somebody that you like that other people are going to like Dalvin Cook, but there's no market set. It's hard to know what Dalvin Cook is going to go for. Auctions are so interesting. The prices are so different in every auction. But the studs, you probably have a decent idea what they're going to go for. But if you throw out Dalvin Cook before any of the stud running backs have gone, you have nobody knows what to bid on him. You might be able to get him for like $6, I don't know. And that might end up...
Do you nominate him for $6 instead of saying Dalvin Cook $1? You... Fire right out of the gate. Dalvin Cook, $6. The whole room kind of freezes.
I don't think I would. I think I'd start with $1 and get to $6. So that's interesting.
I tried that with $12 Travis Kelce once.
Yeah.
Nobody else got him.
It is an interesting strategy. Just to take the mid-level guys, put them at maybe $1 or $2 higher, and just to see, to make sure you guarantee the guy that you want.
The other name that was on the tip of my tongue was Derrick Henry, who I think everybody would love to have on their team, but not necessarily target or go all out for.
Well, and the interesting thing about Henry is if you nominate him before Murray's gone.
Right.
So nobody knows who needs him.
Right. Mean, it's so weird. It's true. Think about that. If you've never done an auction, I'm sure many people who are listening have never done an auction.
They're so much fun.
They're the best. Players get nominated. Imagine you're doing an auction. All the players are on the board, and the first person out is Derrick Henry. You'd have no idea what to bid on that guy. Like, it would really take you by surprise. It's almost
like that with all the backup running backs. Like, Kareem Hunt, Jamal Williams, Jacquizz Rodgers at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like all these guys that could be amazing. Samaje Perine or Rob Kelly. I mean, you know, it's just like, where's the baseline?
Right. But as soon as you get like three or four running backs out there, you probably would feel more comfortable bidding on any running back, right?
Sure. Then you know.
Yeah, then you know. All right. Next email. Thank you, Alex from Funky Buddha. Is Mike in a city in Ontario?
Duluth, Minnesota.
Pick two of these running backs. Half PPR, 10 teams. Mark Ingram, Adrian Peterson, CJ Anderson, Ty Montgomery, Mike Gillisley, Spencer Ware. I'll read them again. Ingram, Peterson, CJ, Montgomery, Gillisley, Ware. Pick two.
I'll take Gillisley and Ingram.
I'll take Gillisley and Anderson.
Gillisley is unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
I am struggling in half PPR between Ingram and Montgomery. I think I'm going to take Gillisley and Montgomery.
All right.
So is Ingram starting to fall for you guys for whatever reason?
I got him in that draft last night in round 7.
Ooh.
Yeah, he has he's fallen for everybody else.
One of those unpopular.
And the next pick was Adrian Peterson.
Ooh.
Are you ashamed for liking Mark Ingram, Dave?
No. I still think he's the Saints' best running back.
That's because you're shameless.
Yeah.
It's true.
Shameless
I've done this entire podcast with my underwear on my head.
I'm not joking. Shameless, I regret not watching the first few seasons. I've only watched like the last two because Allie watches it. It's like, it is sensational. This is not hyperbole. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen. It's terrific.
Sorry, Shameless. I'm
gonna
feel bad for you.
It's terrific. You know, Mike Friedman, our old producer, that was his favorite show. It's a good show. All right.
We got more trade deadline news.
What we got?
The Astros have signed Jumbo Diaz.
Okay. This is from Blake. Blake from a city where, if you add up the revenues from all the Starbuckses within the city, the total is probably greater than some smaller country's GDP. Seattle? Let's just say Seattle.
Couldn't it be New York City?
Maybe. Dear Sponge, Ugg, Budnick, and Donkey Lips. I guess that is Shrek. Can you do a segment on dynasty leagues? How do you approach guys like McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Corey Davis, compared to Greg Olson, Tom Brady, Jordy Nelson, DeMarco Murray? Heath, you like dynasty leagues.
I like dynasty leagues a lot. The obvious answer is that those younger players are now worth more and those older players are now worth less. I think that as a rule, the younger players kind of get overvalued and the older players kind of get undervalued. So I think people take that a little bit too far. I don't really like to look out more than 3, maybe 4 years when projecting these guys. So I'm not going to downgrade somebody too much at a receiver that's 28 years old compared to somebody that's 25.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is quarterback is more important. If you can just have an elite quarterback and be set there for a while. And the reason it's more important is quarterback's more predictable 3 to 4 years from now than any of the other positions.
Okay. All right. That's you know, we could probably spend a little bit more time on that in a different show, but for now, let's go on to from Noah, who's writing from the Lake Michigan home of Badger great Sam Decker. All right.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Dear Robert, Renly, Stefan, and Stannis. Jamie?
Game of greatest show.
Game of Thrones. Who's Stefan?
Marbury.
I don't remember him. So I'm waiting on quarterbacks, I know. But how would your rankings change in a point per completion league? Who should I target and who should I downgrade? Thank you for your hard work. My students in 3A Study Hall love your podcast half as much as I do. Shout out to 3A Study Hall.
I mean, you target guys like Breeze, like Rodgers, like Brady, like all the great quarterbacks.
It downgrades guys like Cam,
Tyrod,
like Mariota, like Tyrod.
Dak Winston.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't complete enough passes. But we had an email like this about, I don't know, a month or so ago. And I think we all sort of agreed you got to start taking quarterbacks early, like much earlier.
Well, because there's fewer that are as reliable.
We just
knocked off five names of quarterbacks who are downgraded in this type of scoring system.
Palmer might jump ahead of about half of those names,
yeah,
we said.
Because he throws a zillion passes.
Yeah, they're going to throw the ball 600 times. Stafford jumps way up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you recall, when we had said that last month or whenever it was, we got an email immediately after from a guy who plays in a point per completion league and said, I wait every year and I win. You know, that was...
You win this league
every
year.
It's the same thing. There's going to be guys that are available to you.
Right. And you are going to get amazing value early in the draft, even though it's early. You know, a lot of running backs and wide receivers are going to fall, like in two quarterback leagues. Fall to like the second round, then they're really, I don't know. I would still be inclined to take quarterback much earlier. But I guess
it doesn't have to be first round value, but if you're taking Rodgers, like if Heath gave you a scenario about the guys he would take. So if you're taking Breeze in round five, round six, you're taking him maybe round three, round four.
No, I don't think he's going to be there. Do you?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like you bump up the guy two rounds.
Yeah. Okay. Jonathan Harris in Baton Rouge. Should I keep DeMarco Murray or Dez Bryant? Half PPR.
Dez.
Mm-hmm.
Dez it is. And finally, Matt from New York. Dear Rob, John, Bran, and Rickon. Jamie?
I am the third-eyed raven. I don't care about you.
Three-eyed raven. Super fan. What are some of your preferred league scoring settings? For example, many of the leagues I play in give points for return yards, have heavy penalties for a pick six, bonuses if a player breaks 100 yards during a game. Also, super flex question, keep one. Jameis Winston in the 7th, Tevin Coleman in the 12th, CJ Anderson in the 10th.
Since it's super flex, I will say Jameis.
Okay. Now, what are some of your preferred league settings?
Adams is half point PPR.
Yep.
Free agent acquisition budget.
Oh, yeah.
I like return yards, and I think all touchdowns should count. So those are both two things.
IDP.
No kickers. It's my favorite setting.
I like kicker as part of the DST. Kicker is a part of special teams.
I like kickers when you get points per yard, basically. Not like a 50-yard kick is worth 50 points, but it's worth 5 points, and a 30-yard kick's worth 3. I think that's cool. I like half PBR, and I don't like anything more. I don't hate 14-team leagues, but I don't like anything more than 12, typically. I prefer not to play in anything more than 12 teams.
I like 14-team leagues because it's more butts to kick, and it means more when you win.
Yeah. Just need your guys to stay healthy.
Just skip around the office with the trophy, and you make 13 stops with the trophy pointing at people saying, I beat you.
Mm.
It's a good feeling.
I've never won a trophy for fantasy.
Never?
Oh, I've won fantasy leagues, just never had a trophy.
But no trophy to go with it?
No. No.
I almost want to invite you in my league where there's a trophy.
I would gladly accept.
No, you wouldn't.
What are your thoughts about the Cubs giving Bartman a ring?
What?
Yep.
That happened today?
We're on to baseball talk now?
I think it's dumb.
Yes, it is dumb. And that is the end of our show. Thank you for listening, everybody. We're coming back tomorrow with another episode. This is Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.